Hey guys, welcome to today's discussion. I hope you guys had a beautiful 4th of July. If you're in the Americas, had a wonderful 4th of July. I think it lasted about a week. But now that we have all that out of our system, I want to go over some things in the law of one pertaining to service to others and really get a good idea on what they say the best service is, what's acceptable, what's not. And I really the bottom line is it's what that person feels is best. But I do feel like there's some discernment in there. I do want to add though, I know I try to focus more on the positive, but we do at some point need to know, at all points need to know the negative side of things. And it's simply because in my own experience, I wouldn't know how not to be. So, and I hope you guys feel the same way. But also to recognize, if we do kind of hold those patterns within ourselves and see what we ourselves need to work on. I mean, personally speaking, there's several things in my own life that I feel I need to work on or am attempting to work on. I think that's the point. The first step is recognizing it, and then to make an attempt to better yourself or learn the ways of turning that around into a positive aspect, or if it's something accepting that part of yourself that okay, maybe that part of me kind of isn't very good. Okay, well, can I fix that? And then actively, willingly having the willpower to work on that and improve that area and that. So, I mean, there are things, and maybe eventually I'll cover one going down the negative path, and just so that we know how they do things. I mean, we do need to understand when if one of those individuals was in front of us, we need to know how to not be manipulated, how to understand if and know if somebody is lying or not telling the truth, or again being manipulative or trying trickery or any types of ways. And we have to have that discernment so we know we kind of do need to know how they function. So at some point I will be going over that, and just stay tuned for that. Right now, today, again, we are talking about service to others and how we can learn how to make that choice in every moment of our lives, or attempt to make that choice in every moment of our lives. So let's start with session 15.6. Dawn asked that it would be very beneficial for the people of this planet and practicing the law of one to learn the ways of service. Am I correct? Ra says, yes, you are correct. If you will observe those oriented through a lifetime experiential distortion complex. From near the beginning of that experience, you will observe a relatively youthful, as you call it, appearance. Okay. And I'm not lifetime experiential distortion. Does that mean looking at somebody through their lifetime? From near the beginning of that experience, you will observe a very relative, youthful appearance. Okay, let's move on now. And the next question was, what's the greatest service that a population on this planet could perform individually? Okay, there was but one service. The law is one. The offering of self to Creator is the greatest service. The unity is the fountainhead. The entity who seeks the one creator with infinite intelligence. From this seeking, from this offering, a great multiplicity of opportunities will evolve, depending on the mind-body-spirit complex distortions with regard to the various illusory aspects or energy centers of the various complexes of your illusion. Some will become healers, some workers, some teachers, and so forth. So, and it does go into further detail later on, where it's kind of up to each individual how they choose to serve others. And if you're negative, then how to serve yourself. But I think it involves, finding the area of service that we would benefit from. And I think it, I kind of thought about, okay, well, we have nine, some of us have 9 to 5 jobs that really is just our way of surviving. So that's just keeping us in survival mode. And some people do enjoy their job, and that's fine. The ultimate form of service, in my opinion, is something when you, the thing that you do out of love, the thing that you do that is not considered work, that you just absolutely enjoy. There is no obligation. There is no feeling of obligation behind it. Just that outpouring of love. So, because then that radiates. Okay, so moving on to session 17.30. Okay, if an entity wants to learn the ways, wants to be of service to others, rather than service to self, while he is in third density, are the best ways of being service to others, are there best ways of being in service to others, or is any way just as good as any other way? Okay, so the best way of service to others is the constant attempt to seek to share the love of the Creator as it is known to the inner self. This involves self-knowledge and the ability to open the self to other self without hesitation. This involves, shall we say, radiating that which is the essence or the heart of the mind-body-spirit complex. The essence is the heart of the mind-body-spirit complex. Speaking to the intention of your question, the best way for each seeker in third density to be of service to others is unique to that mind-body-spirit complex. This means that the mind-body-spirit complex must then seek within itself the intelligence of its own discernment as to the best way it may serve others. This will be different for each. There is no best, there is no generalization, nothing is known. So some are artists, some are healers, some are workers, some do enjoy that. Some teachers, and so on, so forth. It's up to us to decide. Again, I feel like it's something that probably comes natural and probably something that we don't feel is an obligation and that we just love, we enjoy doing. I think that is the ultimate working from the heart. Session 18.6. Basically, I would say that to infringe on free will of other self or another entity would be the basic thing never to do under the law of one. Can you state any other breaking of the law of one than this basic rule? So, seeking control over others, is that a no-no? As one proceeds from the primal distortion of free will, one proceeds to the understanding of focal points of intelligent energy, which have created the intelligence or the ways of a particular mind-body-spirit complex in its environment. Both what you would call natural and both what you would call man-made. Thus, the distortions to be avoided are those which do not take into considerations the distortion of focus of the energy of the logos of this particular sphere of density. What the logos has not set forth is a no-no, I think is what they're saying. These are many due to the various distortions of man-made complexes in which the intelligence and awareness of entities themselves have chosen a way of using the energies available. I'm kind of putting focus on man-made. And maybe they snuck that in there a little bit on purpose. I mean, everything's on purpose and what they put in, but there's another area where they talk about man-made distortions, man-made this, man-made that. So, as humans, I think we do have an overactive ability when it comes to creating things possibly not set forth by the logos. Thus, what would be an improper distortion with one entity is proper with another. Okay. We can suggest an attempt to become aware of the other self as self and thus do this action, which is needed by the other self, understanding the other self's intelligence and awareness. In many cases, this does not involve breaking of free will into a distortion or fragmentation called infringement. However, it is a delicate matter to be of service and of compassion, sensitivity, and an ability to empathize are helpful in avoiding distortions of man-made intelligence and awareness. Empathy, I think, is the key here. Empathy. Like, how do you not break free will of another person? Well, empathy, understanding. Like, they are a person, they have a consciousness, they have intelligence, and they have emotions, and having that empathy will help you in your discernment on what they need. I'm giving readings. That's what it works through. It's empathy. I mean, literally being in that person's shoes, feeling what they are going through, seeing what they are going through, in any situation, having that empathy is always, always a plus when you're looking at, well, anything, but specifically here, I'm talking about control over others. Like, if you don't have that empathy, then you're just not going to care. You're only in it for you. You're missing that heart chakra, right? Okay. And area or arena called the societal complex is an arena in which there are no particular needs for care, for it is the honor duty of those in this particular planetary sphere to act accordingly to its free will for the attempted aid of the societal complex. Okay. Thus, you have two simple directives. Awareness of the intelligent energy expressed in nature. Awareness of the intelligent energy expressed in self to be shared. So, nature, you, when it seems appropriate by the entity with this social complex. I think I was saying societal there, and it's actually social, sorry. By the entity with the social complex, you have one infinitely subtle and various set of distortions of which you may be aware. That is, distortions with respect to self and other self, not concerning free will, but concerning harmonious relationships with service to others, as other selves would most benefit. So it's, yeah, okay, this is being connected to the social complex. Well, then, yeah, you are going to be aware of many others. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if I have anything else to add on that. I mean, that seems pretty clear cut. I mean, it's, again, having that empathy is number one. I truly believe making sure that that heart chakra, that's our unconditional love, that's our empathy, that's our compassion. Absolutely. Out of 42.7. Yeah. I would like to try to make an analogy for this in third density. Many entities here feel great compassion towards relieving the physical problems of third density other selves by administering to them in many ways, bringing them food if there is hunger, as there is in the African nations now, bringing them medicine if they believe they require administering to them medically, and being selfless in all areas, all of these services to a great extent. This is important here. So I do have some things to add on that. This is creating a polarization or a vibration that is in harmony with green ray or fourth density. However, it is not balanced with the understanding of fifth density, that these entities are experiencing a catalyst and more balanced administration to their needs would be to provide them with the learning necessary to reach a state of awareness of fourth density than it would be to administer their physical needs at this time. Is this correct? So, yeah, so focusing on this is what he's asking. So, how much you interfere in somebody's learning is really the gist of this question. You know, we obviously have a problem on this planet with making sure everybody is fed, which I've had an issue with that over many years. You know, we've got this problem going on, and yet people are going in and reporting on it that are very well-known people that have quintillion amount of dollars, and they're like, yeah, it's bad there. Yeah, it's bad there. Yeah, they're starving. Yeah, it's bad there. And yet, you know, okay. Are you going to do anything about it? You know, and but what Don is asking is a great question. You know, looking at it from a fifth density point of view and gaining that wisdom, you know, is it should we give them the teaching, learning necessary to like grow their own food and do this and teach them cleanliness, teach them sanitation, this and that, you know, bringing in doing whatever courses on how to do what you need to do. Or coming from a fourth density perspective, learning, do you just provide them with the food? You know, well, yeah. Okay, in that case, it's great. They have food in their bellies, but did they learn anything? So let's see what they ask or answer. So Ra answers to a mind-body-spirit complex which is starving. The appropriate response is feeding the body. You can extrapolate from this. On the other hand, you are correct in your assumption that the green ray response is not as refined as that which has been imbued with wisdom. This wisdom enables the entity to appreciate its contributions to the planetary consciousness by the quality of its being without regard to activity or behavior, which expects results upon visible planes. I'm not quite sure I understand the last sentence of that, but Ra's like, yeah, okay, I see your point. Like, if you're looking at it from a fourth density perspective and you're trying to learn the ways of fourth density, you would feed them. Like, that's your service. Like, of course, feed them, you know. If you're looking at it from wisdom and fifth, you know, okay, you fed them, but then what did they learn? How do they move on from that point? You know, you give them food for a day. Well, their bellies are full, but the next day you're going to have to come back, and then what did they learn? They learned that you're just going to give them food, you know, and they don't have to do that. So maybe it's a mixture of both. I don't know. You know, like you're balancing that wisdom with the compassion and that. So I think that's sixth sensitivity, you know, balancing that. Okay, I'll give it to you. You're starving, and I see that, and I don't want that, you know. So here's this for today and next week and whatnot, but you're also going to sit down with me and I'm going to show you, hey, put this potato in the ground, couple potatoes in the ground, and that's all you got to do. Potatoes are wonderful vegetables. You just put them in the ground and they grow like 10 more potatoes. But with the harder vegetables to grow, you know, teaching them the care and the pruning and this and that, and you know, I think that is the balance between wisdom and compassion. So, just my two cents. But I do feel like there was another part in here. Maybe it's one that we're going to go over next. I'm not quite sure. But there is another point in here they make in regards to, oh my goodness, I lost my train of thought. Okay, let's move on and see if it's the next one. That's okay. 42.8. Then, in regards to the example of Africa, why do we have the extreme starvation problem in the area of Africa at this time, generally? Is there any metaphysical reason for this, or is it purely random occurrence? I know what I was going to say. I feel like if this is going on and somebody does have the availability to help and the means and the will, and that maybe that's their opportunity for service to others, and they should probably take it. Your previous assumption was correct as to the catalytic action of the starvation and ill health. However, it is within the free will of an entity to respond to this plight with of other selves. There we go. And the offering of the needed foodstuffs and substances is an appropriate response within the framework of your learned teachings at this time, which involve the growing sense of love for and service to other selves. That's the point I was trying to make is, that opportunity could be a chance for that person that has the will and the means, to be of service to others, and that would be considered a great opportunity for service to others. So I think we went over this one not too long ago in a different session, but I do kind of want to go over it again in regards to the point of service to others. Okay, so out of 50, session 50, can you expand on the concept, which is this, that it is necessary for an entity to, during incarnation in the physical, to become polarized or interact properly with other entities? And why isn't this possible between incarnations when he is aware of what he wants to do? But why must he come into an incarnation and lose memory of what he wants to do and then act in a way that he hopes to act? So basically, if we can see everything between lives, why do we have to come into life to do what we got to do? Because at that point we've lost our memory. We don't even know what it is we're supposed to be doing. So we're just guessing. So let's go through their answer. Let us give the example of the man who sees all the poker cards. He knows the game. It's child's play to gamble. It's no risk. Like, if you know you're gonna win because you can see everything, and then it's just, there's no risk. You've got nothing to lose because you already know. On the other hand, they're known. The possibilities are known, and the hand will be played correctly, but with no interest, right? It's not fun anymore so, at that point. And in time space, and in true Greller green density, fourth density. I'm assuming that they're talking about here, true color green. The hands are all of the hands are open to the eye. The thoughts, the feelings, the troubles, all of these may be seen. There is no deception and no desire for deception. Thus much may be accomplished in harmony, but the mind, body, spirit gains little polarity from this interaction. There's really no growth. There's really no opportunities that, test your willpower on actually wanting to serve others. Therefore, there's no growth. I'm sure you guys understand the more we work on attempting to be of service, the more we do grow and we learn so much. Let us re-examine this metaphor and multiply it into the longest poker game you can ever imagine, a whole life. The poker game lasts an entire lifetime. The cards are love, dislike, limitation, unhappiness, pleasure, all of that. They are dealt and redealt and redealt and redealt. But you already know. You may, during this incarnation, begin, and we stress begin, to know your own cards. You may begin to feel, to find the love within you. You may begin to balance your pleasure and your limitations. However, your only indication of other selves' cards is to look in the eyes. Yeah, and that's true. Body language and that, like, then you can kind of You can read body language. I mean, body language says so much. Especially the eyes. That's your only indication of what's going on with them and where you should take your next move. You cannot remember your hand, their cards. You may not even know the rules of the game. The game can only be won by those who lose their cards in the melting influence of love, and can only be won by those who lay their pleasures, their limitations, all upon the table, face up, and say inwardly, all of you players, each other self, whatever you got going on, whatever hands you have, whatever feelings you're feeling, whatever thoughts you have, I still love you. I love you. It doesn't matter. I love you. This is the game. To know, to accept, to forgive, to balance, and to open the self in love. This cannot be done without the forgetting, for it would carry no weight in life, and the mind, body, spirit, beingness, totality. Yeah, okay, I can see how that would work. So, all of you players, each other self, whatever you got going on, feelings, thoughts, actions, past, I love you. So, because does it really matter? We're all in this to learn stuff, every single one of us. And we're all just helping each other home. So. Okay. So this is 55.7. Can you tell me in the polarizations in consciousness, if there is any analogy with respect to what you just said in this type of contact with respect to what we're doing right now in communicating with Ra? Okay, let's in order to understand the question, I kind of have to read the answer, I think. So there is no relationship between this type of contact and the bidding process. Oh yeah, so they're actually talking about negative stuff here, if I remember right. Let me go into, because I read the word bidding and I'm like, wait. Yeah. Yeah, so anytime the word bidding comes up, I do believe they're talking about the negative process of things. So, okay, so let's go back. Just wanted to show you guys that, make sure that basically, well, how is that different than what we're doing with Ra? Like, how does it work differently? Is it the same? There is no relationship between this contact and the bidding process. This contact may be characterized as one typical of the brothers and sisters of sorrow, wherein those receiving the contact have attempted to prepare for such contact by sacrificing extraneous self-oriented distortions in order to be of service. The raw social memory complex offers itself also as a function of its desire to serve. Both the caller and the contact are filled with gratitude and the opportunity of serving others. We may note that this is in no way presupposes that either the callers or those of our group in any way approach perfection or purity, such as what was described in the bidding process. The calling group may have many distortions and may be working with much catalyst, as may those of Ra. The overriding desire to serve others, bonded with the unique harmonics of this group, which they're talking about, Carla and Dawn and that little Serene. The harmonics of this group vibratory complexes gives us the opportunity to serve as one channel for the one infinite creator. Things come not to those positively oriented, but through such beings. So, and actually, before we started recording, we were having a conversation similar to this, and maybe this, no, it's not quite the session we were talking about, but I was making a point on doing any type of tailing, anybody doing any type of tailing. It's we do kind of have to set our own distortions aside, and you want to make sure that you're in a positive frame of mind, because you can just connect with anything, and that's you have to be cautious. So, because you yourself can be manipulated, tricked, guided down the wrong path if you are opening yourself up to those things. So, coming from love, compassion, empathy, and allowing your daily life distortions to not get in the way of what you're attracting. And I'm sure that is a full-time job. So to learn how to be cautious to make sure that you yourself are not going to be manipulated. So Craig made the comment, you can have something come through that sounds 99% benevolent, and then that 1%, is going to just throw it all off. And then what do? Kind of goes with what I was saying at the beginning. We ourselves have to be able to recognize that, and how they func how negative functions. We have to recognize it when somebody's projecting or manipulating, or because they can sound so wonderful, much like a narcissist or sociopath and all that stuff, where they just can, they can make themselves look and sound so good, but it's only to later on manipulate or whatever else their intentions are. So, lack of empathy seems to be common amongst those, though. But we do have to understand, again, repeating from what I said earlier, all of us have issues. All of us can probably pinpoint at least a few, one or a few characteristics of those types of things that we have in ourselves. So recognizing it, because we're human, right? And we've had programming, and we've had trauma, and we've had all kinds of things going on, and all this distortions. And if we've been religious or not religious or whatever, it doesn't matter. Each family has their own set of distortions, I think, that are passed down, each society, each community. So we kind of have to, look at those things in other people to decide where we want to better ourselves at. Well, I don't like it when they did that to me, but I need to make sure that I'm not the one also that did this the same thing to somebody else, or not going to do that to somebody else in the future, because I know what that's like, so I'm going to work on that myself and be that example, and so on and so forth. So, okay. Moving on though. So this is 73:12. I would then assume that the many so-called evangelists, which we have in our society at present, many have great desire and great will, and possibly great polarity. It seems to me that in some cases that there is a lack of information or awareness that creates a less than effective working in the magical sense. This is correct. Ra answers, yeah, this is partially correct. In examining polarity of a service to others, working the free will must be seen as paramount. Those entities of which you speak are attempting to generate positive changes in consciousness while abridging free will. This causes a blockage of the magical nature of working, except in those cases wherein an entity freely desires to accept the working of the evangelist, as you have called it. Okay. Except in those cases where she freely desires to accept the working. Yeah, okay. So we are agreeing to the abridge of free will by agreeing to it, to allow our free will to be abridged, I guess. Kind of a conundrum, but I see it happening everywhere. organized religions, other social settings. I mean, we do kind of allow our free will to be violated by allowing it, in a sense. So, and one point I want to make with that is, people that use religions or any form of community setting, not necessarily any religion, but just a community setting or a group of people, you know, where they use certain information as a form of control. That is still controlling others. So I think at some point we decide for ourselves, you know, well, okay, this person and that person, they're all allowed to get to the endpoint in whatever way they like, as long as, you know, they're working towards improving themselves and desiring to be of service in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't matter what that is to others, or themselves. I do fight within myself, that, I don't understand that side of it, and I'm getting better with it. I'll never understand a lack of empathy, but that's because I'm not there. But the Loveland says it doesn't matter what path you choose, it's not wrong. Nothing's wrong or right. It's fine if people want to choose that. So, and that's probably my own issues with controlling others, I guess. I don't know, but it's just not the choice that I would prefer to make. So, and I don't have to, and that person is allowed to, you know, others are allowed to make their own choice. So, but anyway, but this, again, this session is saying basically, you know, they are trying to make a conscious, positive, change in the collective. But they're going about it by a way of abridging others' free will, which kind of negates the whole purpose of what they're trying to do. But also, the other group or people is kind of allowing this. So, where is the line drawn? I'm not sure on that. I'll kind of let you guys extrapolate on that. But great point to be made. Okay, let's go down to weariness. This was excellent. Weariness. Let's go over this. And they actually add in quite a few questions in this. Yes, so they were asking about Carla's condition. And again, I know they're talking about Carla here, but it kind of opened some things up for my own understanding on a few things. So they answer, she is in deceit in this particular space-time nexus due to prolonged psychic extenuation of pre-existing distortions. The remainder of the energy complex levels are as previously stated. Then I want to ask you, is there a reason for the feeling of uninterrupted weariness? There are portions in your space-time in which this may be said to be symptomatic of the psychic greeting reaction. However, the continual weariness is not due to the psychic greeting, but is rather an inevitable consequence of the contact. And they ask them to explain that, you know, what is an inevitable consequence? Why is it? What is a mechanism of contact that's creating the weariness? The answer, the mechanism creating weariness is that connection betwixt the density wherein the instrument's mind-body-spirit complex is kept safe during these workings and the altogether variant density in which the instrument's physical body complex resides at this space-time. So she, I mean, her body's in third density, right? As the instrument takes on more of the coloration of the resting density of the third density experience seems more heavy and wearisome. This was accepted by the instrument as it desired to be of service. Like, okay, she knew this was kind of going to happen and so forth, but we accept also this effect about which nothing of which we are aware may be done. So, and I don't know if I can explain this any better. But the way I'm understanding it is there's a difference between where she's at mentally and spiritually versus where she's at physically. And it's not, I don't want to say disconnect because it's still connected. It's just that higher vibration states, prolonged higher vibration states, lots of work in the indigo ray. Then you kind of come out of it and you're like, what's this third density world? It's so heavy here. You know, what's going on? It's so heavy here all of a sudden, you know, maybe not all of a sudden. It's probably a gradual thing that happens, but the more work you do in this area or the more altered states, you know, it's lighter. It's, you know, again, it doesn't feel as dragged down. So then when you're in normal duty, you know, human clothing, it's like, what's going on here? Why is this so heavy? So that's creating a weariness. Is the effective function of the number of sessions, and has it reached a peak level, or will it continue to increase the effect? The wearying effect will continue, but should not be confused with the physical energy levels, having only to do with the daily round of experience. In this sphere, those things which are known already to aid this instrument will continue to be of aid. You will, however, notice a gradual increase in transparency, shall we say, of the vibrations of the instrument. You will be noticing changes. And the vibration, the frequency, the energy, you will be noticing differences. And again, I'll go back to what I just said. I think it has a lot to do with the more work that you're doing in this indigo ray, you know. Not necessarily, I know it's talking about her channeling here, but when I was going over this, you know, before now, it was, I've noticed when I paid more attention to, work in this area or the upper levels, you know, it does. It when I'm not doing work, it seems very heavy. So, and someone who is going through that, other people might notice a change. Don't know, if we don't change, then what are we doing? Well, okay. He does answer this. Weariness of the time-space nature may be seen to be that reaction of transparent or pure vibrations with impure, confused, or opaque environs. So it may seem different. So then, of course, you're going to be confused. Is there any of this effect upon the other two of us in this group? And Ra answers, yes, that's quite correct. So I imagine just being around each other all the time, that group, you know, created so much of a doubling effect, you know, that all of them changed into, you know, something much different over the years. Okay. Would we also experience the uninterrupted wearing effect as a consequence of this contact? They're asking, okay, it's happening to her. Is this going to happen to us? Ryan answers, the instrument, by the very nature of the contact, bears the brunt of this effect. Each of the support group, by offering the love and the light of the one infinite creator in unqualified support in these workings and in energy transfers for the purpose of these workings, experiences between 10 and 15% roughly of this effect. It is a cumulative and identical and the continual nature of the manifestation. So Carla's getting the brunt of it because she's the one, doing the physical channeling, but it is still going to be affecting the others as well. So let's go through this one. Because it kind of explains a little bit more. Again, I know they're talking about this group in particular, but the way I took it, maybe I'm wrong. The more workings we do in time space and the etheric and witches, indigo ray, dreaming and whatnot, I do believe we are, those of us that do might have this type of wearing effect. Okay, so Ryan answers this question. So, you ask a general query with infinite answers. We shall overgeneralize in an attempt to reply. One group might be tempted and thus lose the very contact which caused the difficulty. So the story would end. You could stop now. Another group might be strong at first, but not faithful in the face of difficulty. Thus, the story would end. Because it seems like the closer one gets to the next level of unfolding or peeling off another layer of themselves, it's like the more challenges one meets. So, in that case, that particular group might just give up. So, and that's not wrong, it's just that's what would happen. The other group might choose the path of martyrdom in its completeness and use the instrument until the physical body complex failed from the harsh toll demanded when all the energy was gone. They might choose martyrdom. And I think we talked a little bit about this beforehand too. Martyrdom isn't wrong. It's, you can choose to be a martyr. Absolutely, it is one of the archetypes. However, Ross says that, okay, it's not wrong, but if you didn't do that, then there's so much more opportunity for learning and improving and serving. And the story could go on and on and on. You could improve left and right and all around, but it doesn't matter. You can choose that, or you can choose this. So I think in the realm of murder, we were talking about, if maybe instead of choosing the path of martyrdom, standing up and saying, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm not going to allow you to kill me. This is your opportunity that I'm giving you to help you understand that murder is not, and this is a situation where, I think we were talking about Jesus. But and this is a situation where someone is trying to harm you in that way. So it's not always that way. But yeah, no, hey, I'm not going to let you murder me. This is your opportunity to help you realize, hey, murdering someone isn't the answer. Like, you have an opportunity here to walk away from this and choose something better. Because if you go through with this, then eventually you will have to be held accountable, whether it's through another person or in the next life, or you're going to get stuck on that wheel of karma again, and you're going to have to come back and do this again, somewhere, somehow, even if it's a cumulative karma and you think you get away with it in this life, it's still there. It's still going to hang over you, and you will have to be karmically accountable for this at some point. So, and then the person that stood up can then choose to be more of service to others in whatever way they choose to. So, in regards to this particular group, with Don, Carla, and Jim, at that particular nexus, is attempting to conserve the vital energy of the instrument, Carla. It is attempting to balance love of service and wisdom of service. And it is faithful to the service In the face of difficulty, temptation has not yet ended the group story. Okay. They're a good group, in other words. We may not know the future, but the probability of the situation continuing over a relatively substantial period of your space-time is large. The significant factor is the will of the instrument and all and of the group to serve. That is only the cause for balancing the slowly increasing weariness which will continue to distort your perceptions. Without this, the contact might be possible, but finally seem too much of an effort. And I do think Don ended up choosing the path of martyrdom at some point. So, but they were an excellent group. I mean, there are several points in here where Ra praises them and how harmonious they were. They did work together very well. They were faithful. They were, very much into keeping everything going and very particular about where they place things. I mean, they were so attentive to detail. They were good. But I'm grateful for it too. Session 8930. Would Ra's attitude towards the same unharvestable entities be different at this nexus than at the time of harvest of third density? And Ra answers, not substantially. To those who wish to sleep, we could only offer those comforts designed for sleeping. So ask and you shall receive. If you want to sleep, then sleep. Fine. Service is only possible to the extent it is requested. We were ready to serve in whatever way we could. This still seems satisfactory as a means of dealing with other selves in third density. It is our feeling that to be each entity which one attempts to serve is simply to grasp of what service is necessary or possible. Ask and you shall receive, basically, is what comes to my mind with this. But it's your own. What do you want to do? This is free will here. So, if say there is a group of 100 people, and half of them are asking for one thing, and half of them are asking for another, then it would not be appropriate to give all 100 one thing, right? And vice versa. So what each person is asking, then that's what they are going to receive. If they want to sleep, by words of Ra, then sleep. I mean, free will. It is up to that one person in particular, or group of people in particular, to make a choice whether or not they would like to seek more, be more, experience more. No more, whatever. Absolutely. And if you're wishing to serve or make a choice or asking for clarity, then clarity is what you're going to understand. But of course, I'm sure there's the work that that person has to do to get that clarity, and it depends on willpower and everything else. So I'm going to take a drink. My voice is having some issues. Okay. This is the last I'm going to go over, but it's very interesting, and I know it is like the ending of a session, but there was something in here that caught my attention. And I won't stay on it very long. Well, kind of. It's a good place to leave on, because I'll let you guys kind of look more into this. But they say something really interesting here that just took me down a couple of rabbit holes. And this is the part, an ending of the ending of a session where they're asking, they're very attentive to, hey, is there anything we can do to help, the situation? The instrument they're referring to is Carla. How do we keep her healthy in order to continue to keep this going? In other words, is what they're asking. And they answer, they're praising again the extraordinary harmony of the group. We find the addition of swirling waters to be helpful. And I had to look up this word. There's some words that Ra uses that always go into the dictionary. Basically, it's like accessory items, basically. So, like I was saying, they were very attentive to how do I make this better? We have swirling waters, maybe a little music, the lights, or the lights okay? I know they did stuff with crosses and made sure she was laying the right way, and pillows, and all kinds of stuff. So, this is what caught my attention. We encourage the conscious strengthening of those invisible ribbons which fly from the wrist of those who go forward to seek what you may call the grail. All is well, my friends. We leave you in hopes that each may find true colors to fly in that great metaphysical quest, and urge each other in love and praise and thanksgiving. So, go forth in rejoicing in the power and the peace of the one glorious infinite creator, Adonai. So, this is where they refer to the Grail and it being a metaphysical quest. So, and I'm not here to make assumptions on what the Grail is. You know, everybody has their own theories, and you know, I don't think anybody knows. Nobody knows. My ideas are my ideas, and they may be shared with others, but what I was getting from here is that they're calling a search for the Holy Grail a medical, oh my goodness, metaphysical quest. So, and then that kind of took me through, well, you know, maybe seeking the Holy Grail is possibly a symbol for seeking this knowledge that leads us to the place where we discover the creative forces within ourselves. And when we find those creative forces within ourselves, and by creative forces, I mean that part of us where the creator lies. So, or the part of the creator where we lie. You know, I mean, it can go both ways there, but it's. I don't want to say search for knowledge. I think it's finding that knowledge that was already there to begin with. So, and understanding who we are is this portion of the of creation in general, of the intelligent creation. So, and again, you guys can make your own assumptions. Maybe there actually is a physical item. Maybe there really is. In my search though, I was kind of looking up a few theories and ideas of the whole story of the Grail and that, and you know, one did make a good point in the whole idea of communion, and that taking the grape juice or whatever it is that some experience with it, or wine, and you have this cup in front of you, and you know you're saying, you know, I am one with the blood of Christ. I am one, and you take that you have the bread. I am. This symbolizes the body of Christ. I am one with the body of Christ. As I am eating and drinking this, I am one with the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. And then that, to me, I mean, now I understand it on a completely different level. But it is all about, you know, seeing yourself one with that. If you can, one with creation in general, you know, one as I am here, the bread is there. But as I take this bread into my body, the bread becomes me, and I become the bread, or the symbol of the blood of Christ. You know, as I take that in, I am becoming one with it, and it is becoming one with me. So. And again, I will let you guys stew on that if you so choose to. I just did find that very interesting, and I'm not sure I caught that before. Now I feel like I've gone over that particular session before, and I can read a session 4 times, and the fifth time I'm gonna find something new. So, the Law of One never ceases to amaze me, and never ceases to not inspire me, in many ways. So, and I hope it does the same for you. But I will leave you with that, and everyone, please have a great weekend. And again, if there's ever any questions or comments, feel free to reach out. I will see you guys soon.